Okay, hate to interrupt. Everybody's having such a good time. But we're pretty much finished eating, and we have a very interesting, outstanding speaker, Karen Kenninger, who is Chief of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. And we've been having a wonderful time talking about traveling and all sorts of things at our table. And I'm just going to introduce Karen and sit down and let her talk to us.
Well, it is a pleasure to be here today. People keep asking me, what do you think about Washington, D.C.? How do you like living here? You know, I come from Iowa. Iowa is that flyover state, but it is a hidden treasure that I'm going back to someday. But it's very different from Washington, D.C. So what do I like about Washington, D.C.? Well, it took me a while to get really comfortable using the metro. I must confess that. But I did figure that out, and now that's part of my world, and it seems like a no-brainer anymore. But one of the things that we, Brian and I, have decided to do while we're in Washington, D.C., is as many of the cultural and other kinds of things that are here that we can do. So one day we decided we were planning our month, and so we said, okay, let's go to an opera, a play, and a ball game. So, you know, I'll get a little bit of variety going in here. So the opera was actually, it was Showboat, and it was really quite good. It was at the Kennedy Center. And the play was one that one of my staff was in, and it was actually quite nice. It was at the Roundhouse Theater in Bethesda. And then there was the ball game. It was my first major league ball game. I've never been a baseball fan. But, you know, you got to try something once. So it was the Nationals versus the Reds. And is that exciting or what? I mean, now, you got to remember, I don't like baseball. Never have. I always thought it was kind of boring. I know people either love it or do something else. Well, I always kind of did something else. So we decided to go. And Brian likes baseball, so, you know, that's okay. So we went to the ballpark, and the first thing I found at the ballpark were these guys selling tickets along the side of the pathway there. And then there were the police saying, you can't sell tickets here. I said, okay, well, whatever. And by the way, he said, you're not going to be able to get into the game if you do sell tickets. Well, we had our tickets, so that really wasn't a problem. But so then we went on in past that guy, and there were those mascots. Well, that was really quite remarkable. They didn't say anything, you know. They don't. I don't know who's in them, but they aren't talking. I suspect that they're girls, but they're like 8 feet tall, you know, these mascots. And I did get to see Teddy's head, which was kind of interesting. You know, there's Lincoln and Jefferson and Teddy Roosevelt and George Washington and Warren G. Harding. Now, why Warren Harding? I don't know, except perhaps his girth was worth putting into a costume. I don't get that. But anyway, so we had a good time taking a look at that and taking a picture or something. Somebody told me that Teddy was smiling bigger than I was by the time we got the picture. But anyway, so then we went off to find our seats and to get something to eat, and we saw some people we knew, and they told us $5 beer here until the game starts, so you better get your beer. Well, we came to the ball game because they thought we should have a beer. You know, you just ought to have a beer at a ball game, right? So we got these beers, and then we got a sandwich or something, and then we went and we found our seat, and we went and sat down, and there was somebody selling peanuts and Cracker Jack. Well, how can you pass up Cracker Jack at a ball game? So I demanded Cracker Jack, and I got Cracker Jack, and then I had Cracker Jack and beer, and I thought, you know, this is not the world's best combination. The hot dogs were coming. We were going to get a hot dog, and we decided at the seventh inning stretch that it was time to go get a hot dog. Now, the thing about that is that I still had half of my beer, and I was being abstemious, you know, and it had my hands full. We went up and we stood in line, and you know, it snakes back and forth and back and forth, and there's stuff all over the floor at the ballpark. Well, Jimmy, my seeing eye dog, was with me. Now, Jimmy is not exactly the model of decorum at certain times in his life. So he is wanting to eat everything on the floor. Well, I have my hands full with this beer and this dog and trying to keep track of Brian. And so I thought, well, I just slipped this. I had a jacket on. And I slipped my half-empty can into my jacket pocket. And then Jimmy went diving for a hamburger or something. And I went diving after Jimmy. And beer went pouring down my leg. Now, this was library night. So people from the Library of Congress were there, and I thought, well, you know, we live up, work up on Taylor Street, so nobody's going to see me, right? So the person right behind me was, of course, somebody I knew. And Brian is laughing so hard as beer is pouring down my leg. I mean, this whole, there's a lot of beer. And I'm trying to wring out my pocket. This flood of beer is falling down, wringing out my pocket. Jimmy says, aha, she's not paying attention to me, and lunges again. He gets his French fries. And you know, this was the seventh inning, and the next thing I learned after I wrung out my jacket was that my cell phone was in my pocket. Now, that wasn't a good plan. But I thought, oh, well, I'll just take it out and kind of shake out the drips and throw it in my other pocket, and it'll be fine. Yeah. So I did. And then I thought, well, I'll just get another beer because we're standing right here by the hot dogs. That's what we were there for, was the hot dogs. So they said, I'm sorry, but we don't sell any more beer after the seventh inning. Ah, cripes. Okay, no beer for me. So we went and we got a hot dog, and they're out of ketchup. So all they had was mustard. Well, mustard's all right, but this was kind of gloppy mustard, and it kind of glopped all over the place. And so by the time I got on the Metro train at the end of the game, yes, I had beer all over me, I had ketchup or mustard on me, and Brian was happy to point out that mustard smells more strongly than beer. This is a thing everybody should know if you happen to follow my cue at the ball game. Well, I always thought nothing much happened at the ball game, and there you have it. There was one run, and the Nationals actually did win. But I haven't really bought into the baseball thing yet. I'll have to try it again some other way, I think. The next morning, by the way, my cell phone began to buzz randomly, and now it is black and silent. I had to get a new one. So when my daughter played softball back in the day, I used to go to her softball games, and I took a book. Now, that was something that embarrassed her. But I was at the point of saying, look, this is the most boring thing on the planet. I have no idea what's going on, and this book is really good. So I took a book. She got over it, I think, although she did mention it recently, so maybe she didn't get over it. I'm not 100% sure. We take reading for granted in the United States, but there's a lot of people throughout the world who don't have that privilege. I was reading somewhere recently about Kirk Douglas, who was born in 1916. You know, he was the star of stage and screen back in the 50s and 60s, big tough guy and all that. But he was actually born to immigrants from Russia. His parents were Russian Jews who came to the United States close to the turn of the last century. He said, my mother and my father were illiterate immigrants from Russia. When I was a child, they were constantly amazed that I could go to a building and take a book on any subject. They couldn't believe this access to knowledge that we have in America. And they couldn't believe that it was free. We have such a treasure in the United States. And we have such a treasure, I believe, in the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, because it allows us to do that. It allows us to take out books and to read and to do that without having to pay for it, having it be free like all of our sighted peers. Now, I've been reading since I was 5 years old or earlier, I'm not sure. I read under the covers. I read inside my desk. My fourth grade teacher hated that. I read in cars. I read at the table. I read at the ball game. I read at the picnic. Whenever I could, I read. And I read everything I could get a hold of. Now, I've often been hesitant to read something more than once. And it's because I have this idea that if I read this book twice, I'll miss something else. I've kind of slowed down a little bit and been rereading some of the classics, and that's been a good thing, but it's still hard for me. It's still hard for me to reread a book. Now, I don't start reading in the morning. Now, and the reason that I don't start reading in the morning is the same reason that I don't start drinking in the morning, because it has about the same effect on my day. The day is gone. So I usually try to wait till afternoon to start a book. Sometimes I fail at that, but reading has taught me so many things. I've learned what it's like to cross the Gobi Desert on foot and have your camel roll over on your water supply and watch it drain into the sand. I've learned what it must be like to struggle and survive in a ship in the Arctic when it's frozen into the ice. Or to grow up in China under Mao during the Great Leap Forward and the Cultural Revolution. I've learned what it was like to grow up in Appalachia in a dysfunctional family and then go on to be a renowned journalist and reporter and win a Pulitzer Prize, or to be shipwrecked off Australia. I can smell the funk and the feel of fear and chaos in the Superdome during Hurricane Katrina. I have gone with a woman who rowed across R-O-W-E-D road across the Atlantic in a rowboat and ended up in a hurricane. I've imagined worlds where children wage wars as video games and don't even know what they're doing. That movie's coming out. That'll be good. Ender's Game. I've imagined worlds where Big Brother watches from every surface. And and where people travel to the stars or live underground, where revolutions force people to make amazingly horrible choices. I don't remember all the authors' names, and I can't tell you the plots and detail about most of the books that I've ever read, but every single novel, every poem, every nonfiction narrative, every cookbook, every how-to, every history that I've read has given me something new, something precious, a thought, an image, an understanding, an idea. And that, my friends, is why I am so thrilled to lead the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. I am passionate about reading, and I am passionate about sharing my passion. Is that redundant? With all of you and with everybody throughout the United States who can use our services. Let me tell you very briefly, because it's late, about a few things that are happening at NLS right now. We just signed an agreement with Hachette. No, it's Hachette, I guess. Anyway, they are a big audiobook producer. Now, we've had commercial audiobooks for some time. But we haven't had that many of them, and they are now going to give us their backlist and all their new stuff as it comes out. What this will mean to our program is that we will be able to get things out to you guys much more quickly because we won't have to get it narrated again. We'll be able to convert it to a talking book pretty quickly, and it'll be out there. We're actually going to have an embarrassment of riches, and we have to figure out how much of that goes on cartridges, how much of it goes into Bard and interlibrary loan, and how we make sure that everybody knows what's there. Hachette's only the first. We have, I think, the other six big audiobook producers who are on the bandwagon, who are just waiting to sign up. This is going to change some things in the NLS program, but I think they're going to be changes for the good. Another thing that is happening right now is the pre-beta tests for the Apple iOS app for the iPhone. That is in pre-beta right now. It's NLS staff and some network library people, and it'll go into beta. It's unfortunately a limited beta. I think everybody that I know wants to be part of the beta, and we're limited because of Apple doesn't want it to go. Apple's got a lot of funky rules, but Apple isn't. We have to limit the beta, I guess, is the upshot of that. So, but that will be in beta, and it will be in the App Store as soon as we can get it there, which I'm hoping is going to be late summer or early fall. What that is going to do is to allow everybody who uses an iDevice, an iPhone, an iPod, an iPad, to play talking books on it, to be able to download them directly from Bard, and then to play them on their device. I was traveling last weekend with two iPhones, an Android tablet, my Braille note, another Braille display, and fortunately, I didn't have any beer. But but you know, when this happens, we're going to be able to cut that down significantly. Oh, I had my Victor Stream. I didn't have my NLS talking book player because I had all those things. Be able to limit that. The other thing we're doing with the iPhone, with these apps, is making it possible if you have a refreshable Braille device to read a Braille book using your refreshable Braille device and your iPhone. Which means, of course, you'll be able to download them directly from Bard right into the iPhone and read them on your Braille device. I've been playing with that, and it's actually working very nicely. That is a very big step forward, by the way. If you've tried to use iBooks and a Braille display or any of the other apps out there, you see that there's no formatting, and what you get is basically what would have been spoken otherwise, but there's not any paragraphs, there's not any headings or anything like that. And this allows you to see the lines as they would be in the Braille book, so I think this is going to be really nice. I was reading some poetry with it, and it worked like really nice. You could tell where the lines broke and everything. The third thing that we're doing right now, and if you are a magazine reader, and you are aware of this, and that is that we've switched to digital magazines for our magazine program. So they're coming out on cartridge. It's a completely new paradigm for people because, A, you have to send them back, which people didn't have to do before, and B, you have to, you may have multiple magazines on a cartridge depending on what you're subscribed to, and there are some changes, but the beauty of doing the magazines on the digital player is, of course, that you can actually use all the features of the digital player. If you read a novel on the digital player, you are very likely to start at the beginning and end at the end. And you don't jump around in a novel for the most part unless you fell asleep and have to back up. But with the magazines, you'll be able to read the things that are interesting first, and then maybe go back if you have time and read something that is a second tier of interest. And instead of having to stream the cassette all the way through and listen to the beeps and count them and see, it was the third one on side four. Where is that? So anyway, I'm really excited about that. Of course, all the magazines are up on Bard for Bard users. But if you're not a Bard user, not to worry, because you can get your magazines that way as well. These are only a few of the things that are going on at NLS. I am not going to keep you real late tonight unless you have lots of questions for me, because I know that you've had a long and productive day already. But I will ask you to do two things, one of which is to let people know about the NLS program. The NLS program seems to be one of the world's best-kept secrets, and it's a shame because we have so much to offer, and we'll have more as time goes on. And if you know people who can benefit from the program, show them how it works, show them how easy it is, and that, you know, they really can get a lot of really quality material from it. And share the wealth. Just if you can do that would be fantastic. The second thing that I would ask you to do is always to put in a good word for NLS and for the DC public, you know, the DC Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, with the decision makers, your legislators, and all the people that you know have those purse strings, because they need to hear from people who use the program whether it's any good or not. We have a lot of support, but we won't have that support if we don't continue to remind those decision makers about the program. So with that, just one further thought, and that is that in the DC, in this area, everything is really, really political, you know. And the higher up you go in government, the more political it gets. And it's been a real interesting experience for me to begin to understand that, because in where I came from in Iowa, I didn't have to, I'm sure that politics is everywhere, but I didn't have to deal with it in any major way. And it got me to thinking about, you know, who do you trust and who are your friends and all of those things that a person thinks about. And I remembered that Groucho Marx pointed out that outside of a dog, a book is a person's best friend. But inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. Okay, sorry. So at this point, I guess I will just ask if anybody has any questions of me, and if not, we'll call it good. If you have a question, just holler. Thank you, Paul. As a matter of fact, I will be doing be speaking in both of those places, and if any of you are there, I'd love to see you. And I will be giving a much more extensive briefing on what NLS is doing at that time. So hope it won't be this late in the evening. And so,
do you have any plans to introduce an Android app?
Oh, I did not mention that. Absolutely, the Android app is under development. It simply isn't quite as far along as the iOS app, and the reason is partly that the Android accessibility has been a bigger challenge than the iOS. So it will work on Android devices that are running, what is it called, Jelly Bean 4.1 or higher, but it won't back up on that. We've had to kind of give that up. So
what's the ETA approximately on that?
Probably winter.
No,
it's under development. It's just not quite as far along. It's a couple months behind the iOS app.
Karen, do you think that the digital cartridges will remain a part of the program, or do you think everything will eventually move to cards and other apps?
That is an excellent question, and this is what I think. 85% of the people that we serve throughout the country, and there's some half a million at this point, don't use BARD. And I don't believe, there's a perception that as the baby boomers age into the time when they need our services, that they would naturally be using their computers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that will happen to some extent, but I do not see that population ever being completely barred and download-based. And the reason that I don't see that is that I have worked in independent living with people who have lost their vision in their older years, and they can't dial the telephone. So, you know, the changeover is huge for them, and so that's why I don't think that we're ever going to go to straight download. So we expect to keep our regional libraries in business for a very long time to come. We will be adding more things to BARD that are probably not going to be put on cartridge per se, and sent out directly to the regional libraries. But we will have a system in place, as we do now, for people to get those books that they want through the interlibrary loan system that we have in place. So,
I got a question.
Yes.
Transfer it to
Yes. We have, to answer your question about the library and research, we have quite a number of books on current political themes. And I'm sure that if you go to your regional library and talk to your librarian, they can help you come up with a list of things that you'd be interested in reading. With regard to actually fixing the government, that's another story. You can, if you're using BARD, you can look under subject headings that would address those issues as well. Yes.
I think some of the magazines fill in that space somewhat. The Economist and some of those, and I enjoy reading the magazines, but I'm so glad you're here doing what you're doing, because I am able to find books that I haven't found in years and years, and I'm very old. And
excellent. We are converting as many of our old audiobooks that were recorded on tape to digital format as we possibly can. We've got about 30,000 of them at this point or more that haven't been converted and that we're working on getting them done. We're doing about 5,000 of them this year, and it's going to take a few years, but we're trying to bring that whole collection forward. We actually even have brought forward a few things that were recorded on record. You can kind of hear that, you know, when you listen to the audio, because it sort of sounds like an old record. We had, Scarlet, anyway, some old stuff. No, it's Sherlock Holmes. It's some old Sherlock Holmes and that sort of thing. But we definitely are trying to bring those forward. And we are also hearing from people that you want series filled in, and so that they're getting top priority for some of the things we're bringing forward.
Karen, I have a question. How do you decide which books will be converted into
a book? If the tape is no good, then we aren't going to do it. If it's a diabetes book from 1970, we will not do it. Because it's out of date. But for the most part, we're going to do everything else. Well, at this point, I will say thank you so much for your warm welcome and for your long day of hard work. Thank you. Perhaps this club should be inducted into our 10 Squared Club. What do you think?
What's that?
It's for people who are over 100 years old.
Oh! All right. Thank you.
Hey, you hear that, Earl?
What was that?
She thought maybe the D.C. Council should be incorporated into their 10 Squared Club. This is for people who are 100 years old or more. So I think we qualify.
Two or three of us would qualify.
Well, the organization certainly would qualify, whether any of the rest of us do or not. I don't really have a lot of closing remarks, just to say I appreciate all of you for coming and sincerely hope that you have really enjoyed the day as we have enjoyed putting it together and having it happen. So good night, everybody.